Professor, let's talk now about the Earth Chronicles expeditions, Journeys to the Mythical Past. It's a totally different kind of book than you have written.
Yes.
It's a chronicle of, the last 30 years or so of journeys that you have taken. And as I've mentioned to you before, it's sort of like a detective novel. In order to come up with all of these various archaeological finds, you have had to do all kinds of sleuthing. You've had to get around governments. You've had to get permission where no permission has been granted to other people. And some of the stories in the book are just amazing. So let's start with the one about Joseph, because I find that the most fascinating of all the stories, in the sense that you discovered that Joseph did a little bit more with the Pharaoh than just putting away some grain.
Yes, that's one of the stories. It's one of the stories in the book because it is one of the actual places. The book is different in that it is really autobiographical, and it's different in that it has 64 color plates. Some of them photographs never shown by me before, although they were taken during flights over the Sinai Peninsula almost 30 years ago. It is different. It takes the reader sort of into my confidence and telling the hows and the whys and etc. And the particular visit in Egypt to an area called El Fayum, which is the granary, the source of most of the fresh food in Egypt to this day. And we are going back with the story of Joseph almost more than 3,500, almost 2,000 years. When it was realized that periodically, and this continues to happen, by the way, that about every 7 years the Nile rises and the Nile falls, and there's no rain in Egypt, so the whole country depends on the waters of the Nile. That there would be after seven years of plenty, there would be 7 years of shortages and crop failures, etc. He was put in charge of devising a plan to carry Egypt and its neighboring countries over those seven terrible years of shortages. And as anyone who even visited, but certainly one who lived in the Middle East as I did, would know that in that hot climate where there are no shortage of vermin and other unpleasant creatures that eat anything you try to store, it would have been impossible to start storing food over 7 years and build it up and then start to rationing it and releasing it over another 7 years. So what Joseph did is he stored water. He did not store food, he stored water. And using the geographical effect that the El Fayum area is really a natural, a very large natural depression, he drew an artificial canal from the Nile to the depression, created an artificial lake, and for 7 years had water with which crops could be grown. And that lake, though it has shrunk, is still there. It's called Lake Kurun, and it can be visited. And the canal that he built to this day is called Bahar Yusuf, the waterworks of Joseph. So the
biblical story is true.
The Bible doesn't say that he stored the grain. It just said that he came up with a plan and successfully provided Egypt with food during the seven lean years. The assumption has always been that he stored grain, but he didn't. He stored water.
fascinating. And you just stumbled on all this, in a sense.
If we go into details of the story, the question was who was the pharaoh who appointed him to oversee these projects, and I identified that pharaoh. Mm-hmm. And it turns out that a pyramid in his honor was built, and unlike the tombs that are, you know, you go down in all the royal tombs, this tomb you had to go up in the pyramid because it was water clogged, and it is connected, the pyramid is connected to this day to the canal, the waterway that Joseph built, so it's still being fed with water. So
it's amazing.
So it's all symbolic. So visiting the place and confirming it all with my own eyes and you know, showing it to the group that was with me is really one of the essentials of why did I go to all these places, because the information one could read about it in libraries, one could go to museums and see the artifacts that have been discovered there, although, as you know from other chapters in the book, not every artifact that has been found is on display, because some of them are embarrassing, because they contradict the official establishment archaeological theories or concepts.
Nothing new about that.
And then some are even removed after I write about them, and people want to see them, so suddenly they disappear from the displays.